Amen. Thank you so much. One of my favorite songs. Take your Bibles, if you would, this evening to the book of Jeremiah. I'll give you a hint. It's in the Old Testament. I like all kinds of preaching, whether they're loud or they're soft. Some men stand and cry, and some people are very energetic and they can't keep still. I like to laugh. I'm one of those people. All right, I've been accused of that. You ever meet someone that walks up and says, "You're too humorous"? Sorry about that. I'll tone that right down. Let me get a frown for you. I love to laugh. Sometimes I drive my parents crazy. We travel a lot together. And sometimes when we're traveling in the middle of the night, we'll stop at a rest stop. I like to find them cheap joke books, the corny ones, you know. And I'll just read out loud page after page after page. So finally Dad says, "Put that away." I like the old slapstick comedy, Abbott and Costello, things like that. My wife just sits and shakes her head. Me and my son are on the floor. She said, "You've seen that 600 times. And I said, "It's still funny. It's hilarious. I love it. I love to have a good time." Listen, Christians ought to have more fun than anyone else. They should. Maybe you should let yourself know that, right? It's true, we should. We should enjoy having purpose. Dad preached about it last night to the men and boys. And I just want to take a moment and thank the church for having us. We do not take it lightly to be invited to come and present our ministry. We would ask that you pray for us as we leave real early in the morning, try to get home, and we pray that God would give us protection. Pick up a prayer card if you haven't done so, and pray for us as we travel, that God would use us. Pray for us next weekend. We'll be in Delaware, and then the following weekend we'll be in Winchester, Virginia, and the following weekend we'll be back in Milford, Ohio. That's not too far, and then we'll be in Michigan. So pray for us as we travel that God would use us. That's our heart's desire. Jeremiah chapter number 9, I believe this is where the Lord would have us this evening. And I do my best to deliver what God has laid upon my heart to you. I hope you understand that a message is almost like a salvation experience. All of us were born physically. You do know that, right? Come on, folks, lighten up a little bit, okay? We're born physically, and then when we're saved, we're born again. Amen? We're born second time in the family of God. A message is the same way. It's born the first time in the heart of the preacher when God delivers it to him. And then it is born again when it's delivered to God's people. You say, "Why do you tell us that?" Never get upset with a preacher when he preaches at you or on you or steps on you or whatever, because God already stepped on him. And what you hear for 30 or 40 minutes, we endured for 12 to 15 hours. Okay, now I can give you that version if you want that. All right? So this is after we've whittled it down and God has worked on us. But usually I have found a message does not impact God's people unless first it has impacted His man. God has really worked on my heart in this passage, and I hope that it will be a help and a challenge to you. Jeremiah chapter number 9. Of course, Jeremiah is the weeping prophet, and Jeremiah had a problem. And I can relate to Jeremiah. When I first, God really called me to use me for preaching, I did not want to be used because I was petrified of people. I was one of those people that was absolutely terrified to get in front of people. Absolutely terrified. My father would say, "I want you to give a testimony." I would say, "No, sir. Go ahead and spank me right now. Because I can't do it." I mean, literally, I wouldn't eat. I was absolutely petrified. And he took me to Jeremiah chapter 1. God had to deal with Jeremiah in the same problem that Jeremiah had. Jeremiah was scared of people. He said, "Don't look at their faces." He says, "I ordained you when you were in your mother's womb. I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations." Because Jeremiah said, "I can't speak. Well, I can't talk to these people." And he said, "Who made man's mouth?" Same with Moses, the same thing. And so God helped Jeremiah and also with me. I figured out one day that what I have to say is more important than me. I don't matter. So honestly, I say this too. If a person gets upset with me, that doesn't bother me either. I really don't care what you think. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but I really don't. I care what he thinks. You know, I figure something out. If he and I are right, and you and him are right, then we're right. Amen? That's the way it should be. If you have a problem with me and I'm right with him, you have a problem with him. Amen? That's the way it is. And so God has worked in my heart in this message. I want to read just two verses to you this evening. And we'll park right here and stay right here. I won't have you moving all around. But Jeremiah chapter number 9. And right before I read the verses, I want to give you a little context on the background for this. These verses are verses that are really dear to my heart. Oftentimes if I sign the Word of God, sign the Bible for a young person, I will sign these verses. These verses have changed my life. When I was in Bible college, I had the privilege to go to Bible college where I met my wife. And the Lord really worked on my heart during Bible college, as He does, and He directs us and gives us direction and what He wants us to do. And I had a certain class, I believe it was my second year of school, and I believe it was a philosophy of youth work, I believe was the class. And I didn't really enjoy the curriculum as much as I did the person that taught it. Anyone know what I mean by that? The teacher I had was, I loved his enthusiasm. I really enjoyed him. I had other teachers I did not enjoy, okay? One teacher I had, one instructor I had, basically learned what not to be. Okay, his goal was to fail everyone in the world. Anyway, and so we were all scared of him. But this fellow was a young man. Of course, I thought he was old. Then he was in his mid-30s then. Consider now that's very young. I don't know what I was thinking back then. He was mid-30s. And it's one thing to watch someone teach something or preach something to you. It's another thing when you see this person day in and day out, you watch God change their life. You see, this man was teaching us a curriculum, something we had paid for, but God was working on this man and changing him from the inside out. And before he would deliver the curriculum that we had paid for, he'd say, "Fellas, can I share something with you that God shared with me this morning?" And he began to weep, and God was molding this man in front of us. And we got to where we were so excited to go to the class, we didn't care about the class. We were waiting for what he had from God. We were excited about that. And this particular day, he came in, and he read these two verses. I have no idea what the rest of the class was about. I have no idea what it did for anyone else in the room, but it changed me that day. And since then, I have eaten these verses. I have continually chewed on these verses. Whenever I lose my perspective in life, when I lose my focus in life, these scriptures realign me. By the way, we all need to be realigned. You do understand why the Lord established the local church. Jesus said, "I will build my church." There's a reason. You say, "Well, it's for edification, it's for fellowship among the brethren." It is. See, we live in this world, but we're not to be of this world. That's difficult to do. It is. You do realize this is not your home. We are just passing through. And so sometimes we lose our focus on what's important in life and what is not. These verses bring me back, and they help me. Jeremiah chapter number 9, verse 23 and 24. Follow as I read, and then we'll go to prayer. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Father, I pray that You'll bless the next few moments we have together around Your Word. We thank You for the music we've heard that lifts and exalts the name of Jesus. I thank You for this place, this lighthouse in this area that shines forth the gospel and also to missionaries around the world and supports them. We thank You for those that attend here that are a faithful part of this body. I pray that You'd help us today as we look into Your Word during this time. Lord, this is Your hour. We live very fast-paced lives, very busy lives today. And Lord, many times the good things get in the way of the best things. Lord, this is Your hour. This is Your time. And while it's very easy to think about the events of the week and the work-related things and the activities, all good things, Lord, this is Your time. May our minds and hearts not wander on the events of the week. Lord, may we focus on You this hour. We desire that life change to take place in our hearts and lives this hour. Lord, we pray You'll do great things in our hearts. May we be obedient to Your Holy Spirit. May we say yes, even now, to whatever His finger touches in our heart. And God will thank You for what You'll do. Help us to expect it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to just walk through these two verses and be a challenge to you tonight and a help to you. If you notice, Jeremiah is speaking here. He's speaking to the children of Israel. And notice what he says. He starts off by saying, "Thus saith the Lord." In other words, Jeremiah is saying, "This isn't me talking. Perk your ears up." This is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital E. This is Jehovah God is speaking. Listen what He's about to say. Jeremiah says, "Thus saith the Lord." Get ready. Get ready. I begin to eat these verses and I begin to read these verses. And every preacher's different. I get my messages a little bit different than other people do. Oftentimes it's something they've read. I oftentimes do word studies. I like to do word studies. I park on a word and God will just jump off the page at a word and I'll end up eating that word. Oftentimes, too, I'll look at a character in the Bible, a certain individual, and I'll develop a message from that character because the Bible says these men and women were written down as examples for us to learn from. You do understand the Bible is not simply about the gospel. If it was just the gospel, it would be a very thin book. It's about doctrine. It's about so many things. It's about learning. We read about the Israelites and the nation of Israel. You say, well, we're the church. We're different than Israel. I understand, but we learn from their lives. How often do they make mistakes? And we say, boy, if we'd have been there, we'd have done things different, right? Because they'd cry out for mercy and God would deliver them, and then they were back under judgment again. They wouldn't worship again and do what they were supposed to, and God would have to bring judgment again. And we just shake our heads thinking, oh, Israel, Israel, if we were there, we wouldn't have done that, naturally. And so God gives us examples. I want you to notice in these first two verses, there's a word that pops off the page over and over and over, and it's the word glory. Glory. I thought to myself as I read these verses, what does the word glory here mean? I began to study it. This is what it means. The word glory means to shine, or to make a show, to boast about something, to rave about something, to celebrate something. Now, each of us in this room glory in different things. Now, you may not be a hunter in this room. I like to hunt. I enjoy the outdoors. That's what I like. Some people aren't big on firearms. They want to stay away from firearms. They have nothing to do with firearms. Firearms make them nervous. That's fine. It's America. It's your right. I, on the other hand, am not that way. I glory in firearms, okay? I need to be cautious. I'll be careful. NRA, all right? I like firearms. I like things that go boom. I just do. I just like them, okay? And my mother-in-law said to me one time, how many guns do you need? You can only shoot one at a time. I said, I can shoot three. I don't know how many you can shoot. By the way, man, if you're here and you do like firearms, never tell your wife you're going to buy a gun. She's going to say no because you can't afford it. Here's what you say. Are you ready? Hope she's not in here. Honey, it's time we invested in freedom once again. What woman is going to say no to that? What, is she a communist? Right? It'll work. The first time. Then it won't work anymore. But that's what glory means here. Okay, each of us glory in different things. It's funny, we travel around and we'll go into a church and I may just walk into the building and service hasn't started yet and I don't know the folks there and maybe I see two fellows in the back and they're talking. I can't hear what they're saying. I can just see them using their hand motions and the one guy's doing this, you know, and I can automatically tell what he's glorying in. There's people in here, they don't make a sound until you talk about certain sports. And then they come out of their shell. Know what I'm talking about? And ladies, you aren't off the hook either. Now, my wife's a very quiet person. She's the opposite of me. Until you mention stores like Kohl's, Penny's, she just kind of wakes up. And you know what I'm talking about, fellas. You know, when you go to the mall and Penny's, and of course you're willing to do whatever just to get out because like Dad said, my knees ache in those stores. I go in the mall once a year. Once a year, I go in the store around Christmas time. I tell my wife, all right, I'll go with you. She goes, no, you can't rush me. I won't rush you. But by the time she's done trying things on, what do you think of this one? Honey, if we can leave now, you can buy the whole rack. You can buy all of it. Take it all. As long as we can leave. We stopped in, it wasn't about a couple years back, and it was a Wednesday evening, and I happened to be home, and so we were going to our own home church that night, and we went to the mall, and I was dressed in a suit, because church was afterwards, and so she wanted to try a couple things and go look for something else. She goes, just wait here with the things you're holding, and then I'll come back and get you. So I stood where you pay everything, where the 19 aisles come into one. Is it Penny's where they have, they attack the lady at the right, where they all come in. And so this lady standing there, there was no one there but me, and I'm just standing there holding the stuff, waiting, and she kept glancing at me, looking at me, and she kept smiling. Then she would look back down, and she'd look at me again. I thought, something on me or something? What is she looking at? And she looked at me again. I said, hello. And she looked at me again, and she looked away, and she looked at me, and I thought, what is she staring at? What do I have something on me? And she said this, when her eyes met, she said, you're not a mall person, are you? I said, I didn't say one word. She said, you've looked at the door three times like you have to get out. I'm claustrophobic. If you think I'm lying sometimes, stop where Penny's, where the changing rooms are. There's a bench there for people to sit down. Look at that bench next time you're there. Just take the time. That bench is wore out. The legs are barely held up. You know why? Husbands sitting on the bench. And when you show up, you're like, buddy, it's my turn. Move. I got to sit down. I don't know why I'm talking about that. Anyway, we're talking about glory. We each glory in different things. Perhaps your son or your grandson is in Little League or baseball and you've been working with him and he gets up to bat And he's nervous, you know, he's just made the team, and you've been working with him, and he's standing there shaking, and you say, now keep your eye on that ball, everything you've taught him, you know, and here it comes, strike one. Come on now, keep your eye on the ball, don't swing, strike two. And you're not as worried about him as you are being embarrassed because you're related to him, right? Right? So here the ball comes, he swings level, pow, over the fence it goes. And he starts around the bases, and what do? You begin to glory. You begin to glory. And humbly you say, well, he's raw, but I'm, you know, I've been working with him as best I can, you know, him being nine and everything, right? You begin to glory. You begin to celebrate. That's what this verse means. As I studied this and I begin to dig into this, I thought, I've got this now. I understand. The Bible's saying, God Almighty saying, Jehovah's saying, listen, don't glory in certain things. I can understand that. Don't boast about certain things. Don't rave about certain things. Don't celebrate certain things. But then I got to notice what he said not to glory in. And I noticed that they weren't bad things. Now, I can see God saying, don't glory in sin. Amen? That's a given. Notice what it starts out saying. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Now, I have a question for you. It's Sunday evening, so you can answer me. If it was Sunday morning, it's rhetorical. You can't. Okay. Is wisdom a good thing or a bad thing? It's a good thing. Not one person in this room says, when I grow up, I want to be dumber than I was. No one says that. We all aspire to wisdom. Every person in this room wants to be wiser than they are. Amen? It's true. I thought, well, maybe I'm not understanding what the word wisdom here is talking about. Maybe it's something that's a sinful wisdom. Now, let me look at it. So I'd already done a word study on glory. I thought, I'll do a word study on wisdom here, on wise here. I began to study it. Here's what it means. To deal wisely in word, mind, and action, to be skilled in wit. Anyone know someone that's a witty person? Skilled in wit. Along with this wisdom, here comes knowledge. Wisdom is knowing how to use knowledge. You ever met someone with knowledge but no wisdom? Amen? Kind of like a person that has a gun but no bullets. They look impressive from the outside, but then you notice no bullets. No worries, right? Amen? That's what it means. I have four sisters, no brothers. I'm the oldest, and I can genuinely say I'm the best brother they ever had, because I am, all right? But we're 2 years apart all the way down, and four sisters. And Wendy is my oldest sister. She's 2 years under me. She lives in Wyoming. And Wendy is the most like my mom. Wendy is as straight as an arrow. Wendy is just, she's the model Christian. She really is. She's just, I mean, let's do it. It's for the Lord. Let's go. She'd make a great pastor if we believed in that. You know what I mean? I mean, I'd go to her church. You know what I mean? She's just, I mean, I'm just kidding. Some of you are looking at me funny, okay? But she's just, I mean, straight as an arrow. I mean, if she knows the book says it, she's following the book no matter what, boom. My second sister, Nicole, Nikki is very more shy. She's the quiet one. And if voices get heated or raised, Nikki leaves the room. Where are you going? There's too much noise here. We need to, inside voices, you know. She's just, that's the way she is. Rachel is the opposite. Rachel's my third sister. She's the tallest one. Rachel is one of those people, when you ask her opinion, she tells you. How do I look in this? You look bad. I mean, there's no shellac, don't jump Rachel in an alley. Okay. And then Becky is the youngest. Rebecca is the youngest. And Becky is the witty one. She's the one that has the wit. Becky can slice and dice you, and you don't even know it till you're home. You get home and you think, she was cutting on me. I mean, she just very good. And she's one of those people that wakes up singing, and how can I describe Becky? Becky would sing on the way to her own hanging. That is my sister Becky. Becky's just the way. But she's the one with wit, okay? Listen, most people desire knowledge and wisdom. It is not a bad thing. It is a good thing. Every person in this room aspires to that. They want that with their life. We go to college, we go to school and then college, so we can get smarter, so we can get more knowledge, so we can get experience in life and have wisdom. It's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. And the Bible says here, listen, if you have it, don't boast about it, don't celebrate it, don't glory in it. That's what the Bible says. Now, I need someone to represent knowledge and wisdom. I'm going to use a little object lesson tonight, okay? We're seeing Truth Ministry, so we tried to use a visual. Can you help me with that, sir? Would you do that for me? Just come up here, please, and just stand right down here, face that direction. Hold this book just like this and look as intelligent as you can. Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. Good job. Okay? So when you see him, here's what I want you to recognize. Don't think about his name or anything like that. Who you know him? Who you know? Knowledge and wisdom. That's what he represents right now. Don't forget this too. Good or bad? Good. Good. The Bible says, if you have it, don't glory in it. Notice it doesn't stop there. Look what it says next. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. I began to study the word might. I might as well. I'd study the rest of them, right? So I thought, what does might here mean? Here's what it means. Power, strength, force, mastery, victory. One of my favorite words, valor. I love the word valor. If I ever get a golden eagle, that's its name, valor. When I think of valor, I think of my grandfather, my father's father. He passed 2 years ago. My grandfather fought in the Korean War. He was highly decorated. He received the Silver Star, 2 Bronze Stars. He's buried at Arlington. When I think of valor, I think of that. Something that my generation, not all of them, but something my generation doesn't understand. And the generation after me doesn't understand that this country, freedom is not free. It cost a great deal. When I think of this type of word, victory and mastery and power and strength and force and valor, it's an important thing. Again, is this a good thing or a bad thing? It's a good thing. Now, here we have knowledge and wisdom. They go together. We have might and power. They also go together. You say, what's the difference? What are you talking about? Well, there's 2 kinds of might or power. You have physical power, and you also have what's called positional power. For instance, physically, I may be able to beat Donald Trump in arm wrestling. It's possible. Okay? Which means I would have more physical power. Positionally, do you think he has more power than me? I'd say so. So there's 2 kinds of power, physical and positional. Is it good or bad? Good. And again, this is basic. No person says, I want to be weak. We all aspire to be stronger. Think about growing up. If you're a young man in here or an older man in here, remember your youth. What was your goal? How many times did you flex in front of the mirror? Some of you still do. Your wife comes in, what? You were flexing in front of the mirror. No, I wasn't. I had, you know, right? And young men, I mean, they're constantly, my son constantly, how tall am I now, Dad? Measure how tall I am. Like he wins an award if he reaches a certain height. We all desire to be bigger, stronger, better, okay? By the way, ladies, you're the same way when you were looking for a future husband. You didn't say, I'm watching the guys on the ball team. Which one's the puniest? No one says that. No one says the weakest guy on the team, he's the one for me. No one says that. Why? Because we look at power and strength as something we aspire to. Listen, we abhor weakness. We aspire to power. We aspire to strength. Do we not? All of us do. By the way, not only physically, but positionally we do. Think about starting off a job. You start off, maybe it's a certain thing you've learned to do, a trade. You start off at the bottom, do you not? And you work your way up. Maybe one day, 30 years down the road, you're in a position of management. Who gets a job and says, man, my goal is to go all the way to the bottom? No one does that. You say, well, this is simple. But listen, I want you to get a mindset of how we think. How we think. All of us aspire to greatness. We do. We want to get more powerful. We're supposed to. If you heard of someone that had been in a job 30 years and they were at a certain rank and all of a sudden they ended up there, you'd begin to ask why. And if you found out they did it on purpose, you'd really begin to ask why. You wouldn't understand. It doesn't make sense because all of us aspire to get might or power. Now I need someone to represent might or power. One of you guys want to help me? You're next in line, so. All right, I need you to stand right here in the middle. I don't have anything for you to hold. Just turn around and flex once. All right, okay. There's children in the room. Calm down. All right. What do we have here? Knowledge and wisdom. What do we have here? Might or power. Good or bad? Good. Both good. Doesn't stop there. Look what it says. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Here's the question. Is riches a good thing or a bad thing? Oh, now we got it, preacher. Now we found it. Money, root of all evil. It's not what the Bible says. The love of money. You do know that God blesses certain people with riches for a reason. Let me tell you a quick story. A good friend of mine, he now lives in Southern Virginia. He used to attend the church where we go for about 8 years before he moved. We were good friends. He's about 10 years my senior, 10 years older than I, and grew up on a farm, brothers, four or five brothers. Dad died very young. His mother raised him, just a tough-as-nails mom. He says, I remember out there putting shingles on the roof. She was just a tough, tough mom that made them, you know, hoe the corn and do what they had to do. But he had a good business mind on his shoulders. And he was a manager of, a regional manager of 8 different grocery stores. So he did very well. He asked me one day, he said, listen, can I take you to lunch one day? I'm a Baptist preacher. I'm like, amen, sure. And this is back before I had all the problems I have with eating. So I said, sure, yeah, I'd love to. So I could tell something was pressing on his mind. He had something he wanted to talk to me about. And we were good friends. So we went to an Arby's or something, was having a sandwich, and we made some jokes, and I like to laugh, and so I made some, but I can tell something was very pressing on him. And I'm just going to say his name was John. I said, what's the problem, John? Is there something I can help you with? Anything I can help you with? He said, I have a problem. I said, okay, anything I can do. He said, well, you know the job I have in the regional position, and I do fairly well. I said, yeah, sure. He said, I turn corners in my life, and I walk into deals. I said, what do you mean? He goes, I always turn the corner at the right time, and there's a deal that falls in my lap. I just happen to be the one that's there. And I mean, it's too good a deal to pass up, and it's just good money, just like boom, right in my lap. And it happens over and over and over, and I don't know why. I said, and you're complaining about this. I mean, I wasn't understanding what he was saying. He said, why is this happening to me? And I said, and so you ask me. Well, you got excess money? Because you came to the right guy, okay? So leave the check blank, okay? He laughed a little bit. He said, no, honestly, I don't understand. Why does this happen to me when other people struggle? I said, 2 questions for you, John. Please be honest with me. He said, okay. And I was very grateful that he asked my opinion. I wasn't as old as him. I was younger than him. I said, 2 questions. Number one, do you care about money? He said, I don't give a hang about money. I grew up dirt poor. I could care less about money. Doesn't mean a thing to me. I said, question number 2, please be honest. Do you ever give money away? He began to cry. He said, every day. And as fast as I can give it away, it comes back. I said, I know exactly what the problem is. He almost came over the table. He said, you do? What is it? I said, John, you're a piece of conduit. You're a piece of pipe. God uses you to bless other people. He said, how come God doesn't use other people? I said, because most of us squeeze when it comes to the pipe. Money is not a bad thing. Riches are not a bad thing. This is knowledge and wisdom. This is might and power. Along with riches, here goes fame. They go hand in hand, by the way. You say, well, everyone that's rich wants to be famous. I know people that do not want to be famous, but it comes on them. They can't help it. And with the idea of fame here, I want you to have the idea that having 7 different kinds of car, or 7 same kinds of car, but all different colors, just because you can. That kind of wealth. I began to study the word riches here, what it meant, and it's exactly what I thought it means. It means to grow riches, to accumulate wealth. Question, are riches a good thing or a bad thing? It's a good thing. There's not a thing wrong with it. Now I need someone to represent riches. Can you help me, sir? Thank you so much. Thank you for your willingness. I'm going to let you hold some riches here, okay? Turn and face that direction. Hold it out. I would have let you hold my wallet, but I'm an evangelist. There's nothing in it. So we have knowledge and wisdom, might and power, riches and fame. Now stay with me. Look what the Bible says. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. God tells us here what not to glory in. The next verse is where God got me, because the next verse tells you what you're supposed to glory in. And the last half of the verse tells us what He glories in. Now stay with me. It won't be long. I want you to think about something. All these 3 go together. You see, we have a problem as Christians today. I have a problem as a Christian today. We rate our life, listen to me, according to the world's idea of success. You do understand that God's idea of success and the world's idea of success is nowhere near each other. Now, you know that. If I was to ask you whose opinion in your life counts most, you would stand up and say God's opinion counts most. But as soon as we leave those doors, those words that are cheap go right out the window. And we start living according to as the world lives. You see, the world thinks certain things are a success. These three things. Let me give you an example. Suppose we went into a Walmart. I don't like to do it, but suppose we did. I walk into a Walmart and I ask to see the manager. Here I'm just like this. I say, I need to see the manager, please. They have no idea why. So they go to get the manager. Manager comes up to see me. Within a millisecond, they don't know if I'm there to complain or I'm there to congratulate them on a well-kept store. They have no idea. They don't even know who I am. In a millisecond, when that person walks up to me, he or she, as soon as I see them, if they're a decent manager because they got into that position somehow, I immediately begin to formulate in my mind where they rank or rate in life. Get through my mind. I look up and down them. They're dressed sharp. They shake my hand. I'm the manager at Walmart. How can I help you? Is there a problem? Right? Automatically, I'm thinking, I wonder how much he makes a year. The Hummer in the back, I bet that's his. I could see him in the Hummer. We're automatically thinking success. We expect him to be a little bit aloof, do we not? I mean, after all, the guy's the manager of the store, correct? Now, let me switch for a second. Let's flip the coin over. Let's suppose I was going through and there was a spill on aisle three and someone's going to slip and fall, and so I'm waiting for someone to come to clean up the mess. I don't want him to fall, so I'm going to stand there and wait. And I say, listen, can you go find the custodian or the janitor? Somebody needs to clean this up. Somebody's going to slip and be a lawsuit. So they go to get the janitor. Now, I'm going to play the part of the janitor for a second. Are you ready? I'm just going to play the part of the janitor. Here he is. He's coming up to see me. Who's waiting? Here he comes. Are you ready? Here he comes. Waiting for the janitor? You're looking at him. No one touches a mop in this place without talking to me. Now, you're all laughing. Do you know why you're laughing? Because in your mind, here's what you're thinking. This guy takes his job way too seriously. After all, listen, he's only the janitor. You see, we have a mentality problem as Christians today. This, in our minds, is success. How can I say this politely and nicely? God could care less about these three things. He could care less. Listen to what the Bible says. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Listen, but let him that glorieth glory in this. God says, you want to boast about something? You want to celebrate something? You want to rave about something? Here's what you rave about. Get with it. Here's what it says. That he understandeth and knoweth me. I began to study that word understandeth. I'd already done a word study on the rest of it. I had to do a word study on this one. Guess what it means? Get ready for the Holy Spirit to do what he did to me. It means to become an expert. Question for you, Christian, who's been saved a long time. Are you an expert on God? Your next answer will be no. It doesn't stop there. That he understandeth and knoweth me. You say, preacher, I've been saved a long time. I know all about God. Didn't say know about. It says know. Guess what that word means? Listen. To discern. To comprehend. To fully discover, to be absolutely sure of. Are you completely sure of God, or do you doubt Him? Isn't it an amazing thing that we trust God for eternal salvation to keep us from hell, but God cannot take care of the power bill tomorrow? Think about that. Think about that. I'm a third generation preacher. I've been in church as long as I can remember. Never went out in the world, experienced the things of the world, never wanted to. Had a friend ask me one time, why don't you cross the tracks with me? You don't know what's out there. I said, Jeff, I never want to risk getting hit by the train. I should be a real spiritual person, shouldn't I? I should be fully sure of God. I should be an expert on Him. But I'm not. Neither are you. And I know why. Get ready. Because we spend too much time. Every person in this room cares about knowledge and wisdom, might and power, riches and fame. This is what we go after. This is what we think is going to be success. You do realize one day, brother and sister, we're going to stand before God Almighty, and you could have every degree there is. You could be all-powerful positionally and physically and have all the riches and fame that you want, and one day you'll stand before God and it'll be gone that fast. You do realize God has His own scale. Not the world scale, God's scale. You say, what's on one side? The Lord Jesus Christ. He puts you on the other. How do you measure up? I find myself wanting. In fact, I challenge any person in this room, listen, define what the world deems a success that's not one of these three things. You can't. This is what the world says is successful. And God says, guess what? It don't matter at all to me. How many Christians do I meet that are miserable in their life? You know why? They don't have purpose in their life. You know why? This is what they go after. Oh, not while they're in church. They know what we're supposed to say. As soon as we clear the doors, we go home Sunday afternoon. You go home this morning. Maybe you went out to eat. Maybe you went home to eat. Pulled in the driveway. Your neighbors are not Christians. They're outside working on something. Maybe he has a new truck. He's cleaning it. And the wife speaks up and says, how much money did they make? And look what they're doing to their house. We got to do something. All right, look at their house. Constantly trying to keep up. You know why? We deem that a success. This is what matters in our life. You do realize, Christian, this doesn't matter at all. At all. But yet we race to keep up with everybody else. There is a cycle today in this world. There's a cycle for everyone to keep up. Kids have ball practice. I got to do this. They have to go here. They have to have this because they have to have this lesson. We've got to give a persona that we're this. You do realize he's the only one that matters. His opinion is the only one that matters. And if I am right with him, I'm right with everybody else. I love this. This is the icing on the cake. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. I began to study that word delight. Guess what it means? Are you ready? It means glory. You know what God says? Don't glory in this. Do glory in this. And let me tell you what I glory in. God says He glories in exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. The next three words, in the earth. Who's in the earth? We are. Of all the things Jehovah God could glory in, He glories in you. I find that fascinating. Fascinating. Here's the question, tonight's very simple message. What do you glory in? What do you glory in? Are you an expert on God? Are you fully sure of Him? No. Neither am I. You know why? This is where our focus is. This is what we go after constantly. I challenge you to look at this the way God looks at it. Knowledge and wisdom, might and power, riches and fame, doesn't matter at all. My goal in life is to understand and know God. That's my goal. Preacher, what if I do that? You don't have to worry about these three things. He'll take care of it. Can you guarantee it? Guarantee it. How do you know? Trust me. Trust me. Well, I need finances. God will take care of that. What, you mean by faith? Absolutely. I could spend the next 5 hours telling you things that happened. Well, you mean way, way back? No, I'm talking about recent. How about 2 days ago? Is that good enough for you? 2 days ago, we needed tires on our truck, brakes on our truck, and a front end alignment on our truck. What's the bill on that? $890? Almost $900. We didn't have it. Check come in the mail. Open it up, $1,000 check. Well, that's a coincidence. Really? Every week? You believe what you want. I'm telling you right now, you understand and know God, you put Him first, He'll take care of all these things. You don't worry about them. I could care less about knowledge and wisdom. I could care less about might and power. And riches and fame don't mean a thing to me. Not a thing. Understanding and knowing God. By the way, that's where your purpose comes from. That's where your joy comes from. What do you glory in? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Thank you, gentlemen. You can have a seat. Give me that back, please, sir. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I appreciate your attentiveness. I tried to move quickly. Every person in this room, if you're honest with yourself, struggles with this in one form or another. All of us do. You see, it's human nature to chase after these things, to aspire to this. Every time I lose my focus in life, when I find myself chasing not necessarily bad things, just a better income for my family, I find myself getting out of focus and my eyes come off of Christ and onto the things of the world, and I think they're success. And that doesn't matter to God. Here's the question tonight. It's very simple. Only you can answer it for yourself. I want you to ask this question to yourself right now. What do I glory in? Do I glory in wisdom, might, or riches? But can I boast and rave and celebrate that I understand and know Him? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed as the instrumentalists begin to play softly. Would you stand to your feet quietly tonight? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed as they begin to play. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart tonight, would you be willing to step out and come and get on your knees at the altar and say, God, I desire to glory in You. Lord, change my heart. May I not glory in knowledge and wisdom, might or power, riches or fame. If God has spoken to your heart tonight, you know if He has. If He's touched on your heart, will you step out right now and come and get on your knees? By the way, listen, it shouldn't matter anyone else in this room what they think. It's between you and God. It's between you and God. If God has spoken to your heart, step out and come. Step out and come. Get on your knees. Say, God, I desire to glory in You. To glory in You. Some have already come. What do you glory in, Christian? What do you glory in? Can you honestly say, I'm an expert on God? I understand and know Him. I'm fully sure of Him. I've comprehended Him. I don't doubt Him. Would you be honest tonight and say, preacher, I doubt God all the time and I shouldn't. You know why? You're chasing knowledge and wisdom, might and power, riches and fame. Listen, get your eyes on Him. Get your eyes on Him. Glory in Him. If God has spoken to your heart, please step out and come. Step out and come. Don't delay. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you say, it's a Sunday night. I understand that, but maybe you slipped in and maybe if you died today, you're not sure you'd go to heaven. Listen, we'd love nothing more than to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved this evening. Will you step out and come? We'll have someone that's trained. They'll take the Bible and show you how you can be saved right now. Don't delay. Understand something, Christian. You made a decision tonight, yes or no, in your own heart. If the Holy Spirit has convicted your heart and you did not move, you're quenching Him. It's your choice. It's your choice. Step out and come. Ask yourself that question this evening. What do I glory in? What do I glory in? Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Do you understand and know Him? Is that your goal? Do you glory in Him? There's still time. If God has spoken to your heart, please step out and come. Please step out and come. You may not be able to come because of health. Maybe you can't get down. Sit where you're at. Stand where you're at. But do business with God tonight. Don't quench His Holy Spirit. Glory in Him. That's His desire. That's His goal. I find it so convicting that He delights or glories in us, but yet we don't glory in Him. If God has spoken your heart, please don't delay. Step out and come. We're going to pray in just a moment. I'll have Pastor come in just a moment. I appreciate your attentiveness to the Word. And I challenge you as you go home this evening, before you go to bed tonight or when you get up in the morning, go over these verses. Let them speak to your heart. I love this about this book. This book is a living book. Verses are ever new. And they can try our hearts and help us if we allow the Holy Spirit to do so, Pastor.
It's always good to be reminded of what it's all about. And it's all about God, isn't it? We need to keep our focus on Him and let Him have His way. We've been blessed today. It's been a tremendous opportunity to be hearing the Word preached today. And if you're like most people, something was said today that God wants to remind you of, and you won't get away from it. You'll think about it tomorrow. You'll think about it Tuesday. You'll start thinking about it. I run into that all the time. I'll be with somebody on a Thursday or Friday, and they'll say, "Pastor, you said this on Sunday." You know why that happens? Because the Holy Spirit is real, and God is not letting you get away from it. He's trying to get you to deal with it. And you need to let God have His way. You let God have His way, and He keeps moving us. He just keeps us moving us more like Christ. That's the desire that He has for us. And so, someone came in tonight. I was just talking to him here at the altar. And he said, "I know God brought me here tonight." That's God. That's what He does. He brings us to places so that we can hear the Word, so that we can get things right. And if you're here tonight and you're struggling, when I talk about struggling, I'm talking about you're struggling, you and God. You're having a struggle. You know something's not just right, or something needs to change, or you're just not at peace. You don't have that peace that passes all understanding. Something's going on. There are people that would love to pray with you and love to talk with you, and you don't have to leave without knowing that somebody's going to pray with you or pray for you, or at least maybe just open the Bible and say, "Hey, I've been there too. Let me share with you what God did for me." So I just invite you to hang around, and if you've got a concern or you want to talk to somebody, even the Caldwells, they're going to be here for a little while, and they would be glad to talk with you. We would just want to be a help to you. God's good. He's been good to us today, and we've been blessed. I'm going to lead us in prayer. We'll be done with that. We'll take 3 or 4 minutes and try to get everybody down here, and that's going on our trip, so we can get you out quickly. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are so pleased to be able to say that we're Your children. I can't think of any place, any position, any identification that I'd rather have than to know that I belong to You and that I'm Your child. Thank You for saving me from my sin. Thank You for giving me a reason to live. And Lord, I pray that You would turn my glory to Yours. I pray, Lord, that You would draw me closer to that desire of heart that if I'm going to glory, I want to glory in You. And Lord, I pray that You'd help every one of us here in this church, that we would live to glorify You, that we would live to give You all the glory. And Lord, I pray that You'll continue to be merciful and gracious and patient with us. Thank You for the message tonight. Thank You for the messages we've heard this weekend. We pray Your blessing upon the evangelist team, and that You'll bless them as they go tomorrow. And Lord, as they are called to different places, use them and continue to let Your word ring through them. And then, Lord, I pray that You'd make Blue Lake